When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you're thinking, I should go for a run today, but it looks like it could rain, Sierra says save on epic rain jackets. If you're also thinking, but I can't go out in these beat-up old running shoes, Sierra says save on top-brand running shoes. And if you're still thinking, but I'm also busy performing brain surgery, well, then we say, you really should have led with that. Sierra, let's get moving to your local store, like now. Go!
As I was boating down a river in deepest, darkest Angola, I heard a low, guttural growl that shook me to my core. My hairs stand on the back of my neck, and my native guides are ready their weapons. Luckily for me, it was not the mythical waterline known as Koyeyemanya. It was the local delicacy the night before, tummy rumbles. I chuckled to myself at my own terror. Big mistake. I pooped myself. Did poop my pants.
Today on Sexy Beast, we are talking Koyeyemanya. Here's a little tune.
Girl, you got that sexy beast. You're just so sexy. You are you a Loch Ness monster? Or are you Bigfoot, cryptid, supernatural vampires, banshees, Tony and Jago? Oops, there's that Wendigo. Hey, 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 come on after me. Who the fuck said you could laugh at me, smack with me? With a Bigfoot dick you could slap with me? Blasphemy. You could dare come at me with a Bigfoot dick and a Loch Ness monster, pussy. Wait, baby, sexy beast.
Hello there, or should I say good day down there to our Australian listeners. Welcome to Sexy Beasts, your foray into the menagerie of the unexplained. Every podcast we devote, and I say that word every week, but we devote, we commit to a specific creature, cryptid, or monster. We discuss its history, its merits, and we have our own thing called the Fex Spectrometer. I've thrown in spectrometer for the first time ever this week. It's fighting, evidence, cool factor, and sex appeal. That's how we rate and review these beasts, and we put them against other creatures in our premier crypt. And we've got a fucking, I can say that word, it is the internet, stacked leaderboard right now. And you know what? You want to tune in all the way to the end. Because at the end, we have freak encounters where we read your submitted stories, your spooky stories that really happened. We've got some juicy ones this week. Someone didn't turn off their phone. It was me.
It was just me texting you to turn off your phone.
shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up.
Do it normally.
Do it normally, Tony.
And also, we'll be doing our patented, slowly running out of steam game Top Drums.
No, it's not. It's all the kids are talking about it on the street, on all the Snapchat.
All the kids are talking about it because you won again. My name is Tony Cantwell. I am the star of the IFTA-nominated film Cream of the Cop, an action comedy where I play a famous TV chef forced into an unlikely partnership with a tough, hard-as-nails guard played by John Connors. And my co-host, as always, writer of the fan fiction masterpiece Tom Cream, Seaman in the Antarctic, the 100% unofficial erotic parody of the life of a revered Irish explorer, Tom Crean. Mark Jacob.
That was a deep cut.
That Tom was Crean. Deep.
I thought you Cruise was being exchanged for Cream there.
What do you mean?
He does in his personal life.
Oh, well, whoa.
Allegedly.
Tom Cruise exchanges Cream. We're blowing the lid wide open off this.
Fuck Sexy Beasts, we're investigative journalists now.
You know, well, look, if he does and if he doesn't, I'm glad he's happy.
I heard this thing that if you can say anything about anyone, anywhere in the world, but as long as you include a question mark at the end of it, it's not defamation. Someone put a tweet up about saying something about a famous person I won't mention here, but it was like, oh, this person is 100% a paedophile, and then just loads of spaces, and then the last was a question mark down at the end. So someone only read the first part. I was like, my God. And then he got sued for it, but they were like, no, it was a question. No one, I wasn't
really
stating a fact.
So if you just put even a light inflection,
yeah,
you know, being, you know, Mark Jago is a more prolific predator than, say, Jimmy Savile, question mark?
Are you asking me?
Than Jimmy Savile?
Than Jimmy Savile? I don't know. I know, I do know. I'm not.
Jesus. I'm so sorry to be 5 minutes into this and already making a very juvenile pedo joke. Mark Jago, I like this cryptid. I'm not going to give too much away, but before we get into that, I have some cryptid news. Wait for the end.
Always gets me.
Mark Jago, did you know that there's a super wasp's nest the size of a car threatening America?
I didn't. Where is this?
Climate change could contribute to rare phenomenon in which colonies containing thousands of insects survive warmer winters for into a second or third year. Basically, a chap called James Barron went into his smokehouse in southern Alabama to grab an axe and was alarmed to see a giant wasp's nest about 7 feet wide extending into the wall. And apparently he's been about 2 months since he was in there. But this thing, apparently, he was stung 11 times even just going into his own personal smokehouse. And apparently he said that there was about entomologist showed up and said that it was a super nest with 18,000 wasps in there.
Jesus. But like, it's in a smokehouse, so why didn't you just turn it on
the smokehouse.
Smoke, yeah. I don't know how smokehouses work.
Well, you go in there when you just need to create a shitload of smoke, from my understanding.
From, yeah.
But apparently, this entomologist said that he's seen 90 of these this year. 7 foot hornet's nests, like, taking over America.
I think if humans do survive this coming global warming that is happening and we're all fucked, basically.
Sure.
That the bugs are just going to fucking grow and grow and grow, and we're going to encounter, like, the size of the spiders in Ireland these days.
They're pretty big spiders.
Yeah, and that's, I'm not saying this linked to people using plastic straws, but, like, there's studies.
I don't think so.
There's been a study. I watched it.
I don't think so. Well, hey, with places like Glasgow going, you know, plastic free, maybe we'll maybe that will satiate the wasps' ravenous hunger.
Do you think
that's
just like literally pissing in the wind? Because it's like, it is a great thing, and I was really like proud of all the Glasgow Huns. But
sure, we're really proving we're actually dating these very badly.
Hey, have you heard of that band Westlife?
Hey, apparently they're back.
They're back.
In what's your best survival? Well, no, two questions. Mm. Firstly, how many wasps do you think you could defeat? Max. Mm. What would be the one that's one too many?
Few questions.
Sure.
Are they coming at me one at a time?
It would be a nest.
Okay. Do I have any implements to fight with? What's beside me?
Just your fists and feet.
Am I wearing shoes?
Yes, you can wear
okay,
shoes.
Okay, so I'll tie my laces together and make a rudimentary flail, and I'll just whip it around me, and that will catch loads of them.
That's really good.
Yeah, and I'd pull my t-shirt up over my head and my arms in, but how would I use the flail?
So you took your head, arms into your t-shirt, and then flail around the top half like your head was a hand.
Push my hand at the top where my head would be, and flail around, and then I'd use my... I just took my t-shirt into my jeans so they can't go down and bite me on the dick.
And they're just all of them just attacking your foot.
No, but I have my thick woolly socks on for winter.
I never said you had your socks on.
Well, I'm obviously wearing socks. I always wear socks. I've never not worn socks.
How many wasps can you defeat?
How many you got?
Say 80 wasps.
Yeah, I could take 80 wasps.
That's
no
bollocks.
I could beat 80 wasps.
I don't think you could. Well, wasps... Do wasps die or is it bees die?
Wasps don't die. They have a known barb at the end of their stinger, so...
Right, so they don't... It doesn't tear off their arse.
No.
Like a bee does.
Yeah.
Where it really hurts them.
Yeah, but bees are the good guys.
I think 4 wasps would kill me.
4? Are you allergic to wasps?
No. I just think I would just... I'd kind of give up. If I got stung by 2, I'd be like, just take me.
I got stung by a wasp on the knee because I was in church once when I was a kid. I knelt
because
on
you were in church.
Not because I was in church, and I knelt on a pew, but I didn't notice there was a wasp dying or something. I'm sorry.
So you saw a pube. You thought, I just need to put my body on this without anyone knowing. Yeah, so I put my knee on it and you got stung. Because that's
I said pube.
Because holy God doesn't want you touching pubes.
Yeah.
Disgrace.
And that's why I've never touched a pube since.
You are as famously hairless.
Hairless, yeah. Around. I'm not going to get into that. No, anyway, this is a podcast about...
This is a podcast about... Koje Yemanya. You can't you.
You little can't you. I like this. I like it. It's simplicity. It's a very Swedish IKEA design.
Wait, hang on. Before we get into Koje Yemanya, what did you think of... One, my idea for a film with me and John Connors called Cream of the Cop.
Yeah.
Where I'm a chef and he's a guard.
I liked it.
And maybe we have to solve some sort of like truck stop kind of like foodie place murders.
Oh, yeah. Someone's going around killing people and making them into tacos.
Someone put a bomb in Beechard and me and John Connors have to solve it.
The big blue bus drives
away.
Yeah.
And what do you think of the idea of Tom Cream, seaman in the Antarctic? Can I get some praise for that punnage?
I like it. There's a lot going on, but I've never heard of Tom Crean. Is that bad, is it?
Tom Crean, revered Irish explorer.
Yeah, what did he...
Didn't he, like, map the Antarctic?
Oh, did he? That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So now, like...
He's a more successful Shackleton.
Who says this podcast doesn't teach you anything?
Too many people, now, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
The sponsors. Okay. Jago, you're right. Let's break it out a piece of... Koje Yemanya. You're hanging out. You're at an Angolan party.
Mm-hmm.
You're cracking onto a gorgeous bird from Angola.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I say, hey, have you heard of the Koje Yemanya?
What?
AKA the waterline. It's an Angolan amphibious lion that has webbed paws... A finned tail, large saber-like tusks, and lives in the rivers and lakes in Angola. It is known for killing and not eating hippos for fun.
Why do you ride hippos? Why do you ride fat women? Remember that video?
Yeah, it did. Where was that? Was it like Longford Town or something?
Like Athlone.
Athlone.
I look back on some of those videos and I'm like, they didn't give their permission. You know what I mean?
GDPR would fucking wreck them these days.
Anyway, so it's a fucking... sea water lion.
Yeah, it's a lion who primarily hunts underwater and has aquatic implements. It's amphibian, but it's not.
Shit!
Mm.
Is an amphibian biologically so, or is an amphibian by choice?
So it doesn't have any respiratory things that can help it. So like there's no mention of gills.
Sure.
But it can submerge itself for long periods of time. It's a bit like a crocodile. Crocodile doesn't have any gills.
But a crocodile is a reptile.
Yeah.
Is a frog, you know the way that a frog is an amphibian?
Yeah.
Is that like, sorry, this is just how dumb we are. This is how dumb I am. Is like, can a mammal be an amphibian? Or is that a mammal?
It's a mammal.
So you can't be an amphibian by choice. You're born an amphibian, you die an amphibian, and only your fleas will mourn you.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. It's amphibian in nature. It's not amphibian in...
nurture.
Okay. No, this this thing can swim, but it can stay underwater, and it can stay underwater for long periods of time, but if you held it underwater, it would die.
So picture this. We're talking about a just slightly smaller than a hippo lion.
Mm.
What's its bottom half like?
Its bottom half is basically like a lion, except it has large webbed paws,
mm-hmm.
and its tail has sort of like a guiding fin on the back of it.
Ooh,
which is a great name for like
guiding fin.
Guiding fin, like a medieval fencer. Guiding fin.
I would have thought it was like a. Like some sort of like post-hardcore band.
Oh, Guiding Fin, yeah. Who's Fin?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's what you're asking all deep questions. This creature is, I like it. I like it because it's so, as I said before, it's easy.
It's easy
on the eyes.
It's easy to understand.
Another little tidbit I'll give you now.
Please.
It can swim faster than a crocodile.
Fucking hell.
And it can run faster than a lion, which it's kind of like intuitive. Like, how would it swim and run faster than both these creatures, which are fucking apex predators in their own
and also
nature?
Be so stealthy that we haven't discovered it yet.
Yeah,
officially.
It usually spends most of the time in water. It only comes out on land on rare occasions when there is an easy kill for it. Now, yeah, it's has a bit of a nasty streak to it. It likes to kill for fun.
It kills for like the other best known predator in the world.
Man. Yeah. We do kill for fun. We're the only ones have kill for fun.
Do you ever kill for fun?
No, I'm not. I would never kill anything for fun.
I kill necessity, things in, yes. In video games for fun.
Oh.
I derive significant pleasure from killing in video games.
But that doesn't count, though. Because otherwise, then I'm a mass murderer.
But I would think that if you were to watch me play, Red Dead or GTA, and like it was all live streamed, I think you'd have some concerns.
Why? Because you literally just go around to each.
Not all the time. I played mostly for good karma, but when I kill,
I go off the rails. The RTE dressing show off the rails.
I'm going to kill everyone in Off the Rails.
No, I don't think it's still on the telly,
isn't it?
But do you remember that show where it was on TG Car, where people used to choose the clothes for
Passion Fashion?
Yeah, they remade that in England.
Did they?
Yeah, and it's just I don't know what it was called, but I was watching it. I was like, this is fucking Passion Fashion.
My favorite thing about Passion Fashion, for one, is like you hear all those like words that there's no. Like, passion and fashion is passion, fashion.
Yeah.
But I remember there was one where, like, this guy, big cork head on him, he got these, like, jeans that had, like, diamante on them.
Yeah.
And he's like, August Talon, you know, Spark Lee.
Talon Spark the name Lee up, on show. Yeah.
Just like Spark Lee, you know.
Talon, strappy back, air on goon.
Look, we know what it is. It's a big water cat, which, you know, should tick all the sex boxes for me in particular.
Yeah.
But look, the big thing is, can this thing, you know, fight?
Fighting.
Thoughts?
I think it's good.
It's massive.
Yeah. Has large fangs.
Large tusky fangs.
Yeah.
Downward tusks.
A la...
Akbar.
Cut that out, Jamie. A la...
Why you cut that out?
No.
Please praise Allah. People say that in, you know...
I was going to say a la... Akbar. Saber to tiger.
Admiral Akbar,
yeah. It, as I said, it has a vicious streak, kills for fun. I looked at this up here, right? So a crocodile can swim at 15 kilometers per hour. So,
Jesus.
A lion can reach speeds of, I didn't notice, 80 kilometers per hour.
What?
Yeah, which I'm like, but it's a quick burst of speed.
Mm.
Like, a lion, all right, you bite a steak. How much pressure do you think you're putting in biting a steak? Like a real tough steak.
Biting a steak, I would say I'm maybe putting in max 17 pounds of pressure.
17. Right, so a human bite is between 150 and 200 pounds of pressure. Okay?
Right, okay.
The big muscly jaw people who've been doing yokes all their life are there about 200. And a lion's bite is 1,000 pounds pressure per square inch.
Jesus, a ton.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Like, so it can fucking fuck
and
you
this
up.
Is bigger than a lion.
Yeah, it's bigger than a lion.
And it's got big tusks.
Using this formula we've created here, it can bite metal in half. All metal.
I love when you look up to me, you look up and you're like, I don't know, like, this is true.
But, but I'm going to say it anyway.
It can hunt, it kills hippos. The most dangerous predator known to, but not more dangerous than man.
But, well, hippos aren't that fucking dangerous. Their main mortal enemy is tennis balls.
Oh yeah, jeez, remember that?
Yeah, in Dublin Zoo. People kept trying. Why would someone do that? Or would you think there was a sign that says "Don't throw tennis balls in"? And then someone's like, "All right, I will, just to see what happens," and then kill them.
I don't know. I think someone just did. And I think now
a little fucking scrope brings a tennis ball to Dublin Zoo.
Man, I fucking
Andy Murray.
Well, like, it's not like you're like empty your pockets, tennis balls. Trying to kill hippos, are you? It's just like just a dumb thing. You had a tennis ball, threw it in.
Yeah.
Eat that, hungry hippos. That's actually what it probably was.
Oh my god! If hippos go extinct, hungry hippos is to blame. I'm gonna sue Hasbro.
Fucking
negligence.
There'll be has been.
Yeah.
Once you're done with them,
give me all the money. Yeah, it's an apex predator. It's literally It combines the most of like land and water.
So where the fuck is it? Why aren't there as many Koye Yemenya as there is hippos? And there's loads of hippos.
But I think that it would, like, if you found a skeleton on the ground, it would just be like, no, if you see in Angola, obviously, I mean, by an Angolan river, yeah, you found a skeleton on the ground and it was like a lion, you'd be like, there's a lion skeleton. I don't think there'd be a huge difference to it. Except maybe it's larger and it's tusks.
You could tell by the tusks.
Yeah.
You can tell by the tusks that they got.
That's true, did I?
It's Koye from the block, from Angola.
I do think it can fight, but the thing is, it can fight in the real world.
But can it fight in the fantasy world? Is that what you're saying?
In Theatre Screams.
Well, in the Theatre Screams, if we were to go pure Roman and have a naval battle, it would fuck up. I think this would fuck up the Dobber Coup.
Yeah, I didn't want to mention this as early as this, but I do think the Dobber Coup is like its main sort of rival because it's the Irish Waterhound and it's the African Water Lion.
I think I would love to see both of them go head to head and have that embroidered on a soccer crest.
Oh yeah, maybe that should be your new family crest.
Maybe I should. Yeah. I don't know what my current one is. What are the Jagos?
It's a really crap one. It's like a yellow and black background. But then it's just like a chevron. There's nothing in between it. Like, there's no
chevron.
No animals. You know what chevron like? So, sorry, I'm just drawing for Tony here.
It's okay.
So that's like, this is yellow.
Oh yeah.
And that's black.
No, that's not great.
Yeah, it's not.
I think I've something like that as well. I think mine might be yellow and black. Yeah. Did you know that Jamaica is the only flag that does not feature? No, wait, this isn't true.
Say it anyway, please.
No, it is true. The Jamaican flag is the only flag in the world that does not feature the colors white, red, or blue.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the world.
It is the only one.
The only flag in the world. And if you can find a flag that does, I will eat my own hat.
Okay, well, I've found one already.
You've not?
Because there's a flag that's just pure green.
No, there isn't.
Yeah, there is.
No, there's not.
Oh, Tony was right. There isn't. Sorry. I was just looking out.
There you are now.
There we go.
Jago, I give this, and I'm sorry if I seem a bit low energy. I don't think I do. I don't think the listeners at home will think that, but it's very fucking hot in here.
Yeah, so we are actually podcasting from Satan's anus.
We are.
We're both sweaty. We should take our tops off, but we don't know where that would lead.
Hey, I think, Jago, I think, you know, I have this kind of, you know, again, we're dating ourselves a lot here, but we had Pride, obviously, recently. Mm. I would love to see people having kind of heterosexual life partners, where it's like two heterosexual people that come together and they're life partners, and they essentially have, they're the kind of, they bring their heterosexual friend around to, like, you know, weddings and, you know, dinners with family. They're that go-to person for that role. But in reality, they're just going off and they're, you know, riding other, you know, people.
So you want, like, a person who's in an open relationship, basically?
Well, they're not romantically involved. They'd probably be, like, asexual. I'm just surprised that isn't, like, a
You mean, like, a friend?
No, but, like, you have, like, the one friend that you would bring to, like, official, you know, things, like a friend's wedding or dinner with family. And, you know, when you're, like, your partner, they'd be your partner. But you would not be romantically involved.
I've literally lost you.
I think there should be a thing where, I don't want to do this, I'm very happy with my wife, as you know, but I think there should be a thing where people choose their partner, almost like they're married to another person as heterosexual, right?
Yeah.
But they're not romantically involved. They don't have sex. They have sex independent. They have sex with whoever they want.
So that person, one of these two couples could be seeing someone.
Yeah, but they would like be essentially married to another heterosexual, and they're not romantically
involved.
That's
friendship.
It's not when it's marriage.
So you get married to someone,
and then you can, like, give them that. You share a house and you share wages.
Oh, so you're talking about, like, tax benefits and sort of like the incentives that come with it. Like,
I'm surprised that isn't a thing.
Yeah. Oh, there was that. Guy,
I want you to be
guy
that
who
for
got
me.
Married to his best friend after gay marriage was legalized in England, just so he got a tax benefit or something like that. And he stated it, and it was brought to court and stuff.
Well, there should be a cool new name for it.
Laser buddies.
Laser buddies. I give this a fighting of 7.
I actually gave it a 5.7.
I don't believe you.
Well, I did. So I wrote it down this way.
You could have wrote. You did literally wrote something down on a piece of paper.
I wrote it. Yeah.
Okay. Look, we know this thing can fight because it is a water line. But what, Jago? Is this thing even fucking real? Come on.
But what is the evidence, sir? I'm just writing something down.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So.
Oh, please go ahead.
The what? Like, what's,
shut up.
Yeah. So, Koye, I'm just going to call him Koye, because there's a lot of. He falls under the category of a waterline, right?
Mm-hmm.
And anywhere you go in Africa, you're going to always take the weather with you. No, you're going to find these waterline things. So, I had a bit of a researcher, right? So, there's
I
a thing called.
Hope so.
Dilian in Chad is described as a waterline. A Dun on Ek in Kenya is described as a waterline. Same description. As a Koye. Now, there's this one called the, which I literally think it just translates to line of the water. It's called Simba Yamal. And this is from the Democratic Republic of Congo. Now, all in all, there's 11 or 12 different types that have been described. The 12 is where there was one that was described and is named something different from the natives.
Mm-hmm.
But this is it. Like, we specifically sort of concentrated on this one here. But it seems that like it's very prevalent.
There's a lot in legend and history and lore of water lines, but also like there exists walruses and sea lions. Except that's more they are more
more fish than man.
Yeah, they are more water than land.
Yeah, but the actual the origins of the. So what are they called? Actually, Waitorik. Was that it? Waitorike. So basically, there is a German mammalogist, not a tit inspector, as I found out, a guy called Ingo Krumbiegel, right?
Was no, it? That is not his fucking name.
His name is
that
Ingo is, Krumbiegel.
That's a guy like wearing... Is that you? Is that you in a hat?
No, it's not me. But sometimes when I wear a hat, I go
Krumbiegel.
By the name. His name is he's German. Ingo Krumbiegel. My name is Ingo Krumbiegel. I'm a German mammalogist. That's not a tip doctor. Haha. An animal rights activist who apparently... This is a guy, right? This is a guy born in 1903. This guy predates modern cryptozoology. His book called Von Nyon und Undecken Tereraran, which was... What's it actually called? I don't have the actual German or the English translation of that. This is a guy who fucking went there to try and investigate. Like, this is a guy, like, these water lines predate cryptids, the idea of cryptids. Krumbiegel made his first foray into the study of mystery animals in 1947 when he wrote about the Koye Yemanya, which he concluded was either a living saber-toothed tiger cat or giant monitor lizard. And apparently Krumbiegel's Von Gundeket, then the book he published in 1950, was the first attempt at writing a general overview of hitherto unknown animals.
Ooh.
This could arguably be the first
the
documented
genesis.
Cryptid. So it's been knocking about. He also was interested in a few other dozen animals, including the king cheetah, the black tapir,
now,
sea serpents.
I
and
don't call a tapir that is just a different color a cryptid.
Okay, but like it could be. Well, there's like all types of albino things. Would you not think of an albino type of thing as a cryptid?
Not particularly, no. Like an albino gorilla, there's loads of them.
But we have very loose interpretations of everything that we, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I'm changing my name to Krumbiegel.
My name is Ingo Krumbiegel, and I wrote the book on cryptozoology.
He definitely just chose two things that was beside him.
Anyway, here's a couple of sightings, right? 1910. In search of any evidence for the existence of Koye Yemanya, we must refer to a report drawn up in 1910 by an army stationed in the Bamingui River in Central African Republic after an incident of a water lion attacked and pushed a whole regiment of French soldiers across the river into the water. The report mentions that there were probably even more animals, but only one dared to attack the soldiers. The report also reads, I'm going to do the French.
Oh, it seems like in the caves at the riverbanks, live water lions, their eyes shine like sparks in the night, and the sounds they emit resemble the roar of the wind, or a storm, or a hurricane.
Hurricane.
That's 1910.
This is the story of the hurricane. So there is a lot of sort of...
Give me one then.
I will. Jesus Christ, man.
I'm eager.
In 1920, there was a guy called Ilse Van Nolde, and he lived in Angola for 10 years with his family. And he heard a low rumbling near the jungle, which the Koye Membe is...
Koye Yimanya.
Yimanya is famous for.
Your man, the Koye.
Your man, the Koye. He's famous for like the low roll growl from it, okay? And he went to where he heard the noise and he didn't see anything, but he found a man who was walking by who said he saw the Koye. And the man had a hippo skin shoes on. And he said, "Where'd you get those shoes?" He goes, "I found a hippo carcass that was killed by the Koye, and I made shoes out of it, as we all do."
Hippopotamus shoes.
Yeah.
Hippopotamus shoes. Would you get the hippopotamus shoes? You must be a new kind of... I can't. It's too hot.
Cool dude.
Cool dude for hippopotamus shoes.
Yeah, it's too hot to do freestyle raps.
No, it is. Yeah, it's much hotter than last week.
But
so what's he... Imagine that. Where'd you get those hippo shoes? A saber-tooth tiger gave them to me.
Yeah, I believe him.
So why would
no
he lie?
One could lie that outrageously.
He's like, get out of my way. I'm not even talking to you.
Not talking.
But also, let's talk about another event in 1930.
Ooh,
a Portuguese lorry driver told the similar Van Nolde of a near encounter he had with the Koye Yimanya. He said one day on the Quango, at a latitude of 9 degrees south, he heard the Koye Yimanya and had chased and killed a hippo that night. He investigated with some native hunters and was able to find the spoor of both animals. What's that? What's spoor?
I think it's shit.
Ugh. And they followed. The trail consisted of tracks of a hippo that seemed to be in a hurry and a smaller animal somewhat resembling those of an elephant.
No, but, actually mean smell, sorry.
Oh, sorry. But with the mark of toes beneath the sole of the foot. Eventually, anyway, they reached the area of broken down grass and they found the hippo dead and uneaten and, I quote, hacked and ripped as if with a huge bush knife and furrowed with long cuts and lacerations.
Like a cat.
Like a cat might.
Like a cat might.
And similarly, in the 1970s, several natives observed an aggressively behaving hippopotamus that attacked people somewhere between Chad and Cameroon. Shortly thereafter, a dead female hippo was found that was had almost identical wounds as those described half a century earlier. But these wounds were the same as the previous hacked and ripped with a huge bush knife. And apparently, hippopotamuses do not attack opposite genders.
Ooh. So in the first one they thought, oh, maybe it's another hippo.
Mm.
But these ones, the tusk marks were downward, sort of like slashes rather than upward, because they only have big ones at the bottom. But the thing is, though, have you read the Wikipedia, obviously, because this is why we're talking about this?
Jago, of course.
Someone really...
Cryptids, Wikia, Cryptids.
Yeah, shout out to you guys who just saved our lives many a time. Someone definitely loves Angolan people. He's someone who's like... wrong explanation of what people saw. He says, no, the native trackers are so good that they wouldn't be able to tell what was the difference between a hippo attack or a lion attack or anything like that. And the fact that people always say it's got a giant monitor that somehow got into the river, they said, no, the native trackers would be able to tell if it was a monitor just by its tracks alone.
Well, apparently Ingo Krumbeagle suggested that it could be a big reptile because it's consistent with that of predatory reptiles. However, he thought it could be a giant monitor with a sharp beak or potentially a living dinosaur. However, and there's a little fun fact for you, no known reptile has a pair of canine teeth.
Oh, so what do they have? Just all like...
Those little ones.
Little like crown teeth. You ever see someone crown teeth without their crowns on?
No.
Like they're all like little tiny teeth. Like,
what is that where we kind of like... We have this kind of like disassociation where we're like, oh, it's crazy. You know, we'd be like, oh, that's scary. Little sharp filed fangs. Why do we find that scary?
I think because we think about what the damage they could do to our skin.
Well, anyway, most people believe that it's a saber-toothed cat. Krumbeagle suggested, and he's the go-to guy on this, that it's a mammalian predator, most likely a saber-toothed tiger. And apparently the unusual tracks with the impressions of toes could be explained by the hypothetical water lion developing webbed feet after, you know, living in a fucking river with, you know,
it's sort of like some sort of fast evolution or something like that. I do think that there is, this could be some sort of saber tooth that has survived, and it might be very rare. Like,
now there is no description of it ever being seen. It seems like big fangs in a hippo are making people think that this is a saber-toothed tiger.
It could just be a hippo that's upside down. We killed them.
Hippos have top fangs.
Yeah, but they're smaller. They're like, they wouldn't be as...
Please, for the listeners, can you explain?
I just did a hippo's face.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah. It looked very like a hippo, though.
Could be two rhinos going side by side.
Yeah.
No, because it's going up.
I'm up, yeah. Again. Two rhinos side by side, upside down.
Here's a fantasy for you. Two rhinos side by side. I give this an evidence of 8.
I give it evidence 6. Where'd you get the 8 from? It hasn't been seen.
You're right. I defer to you.
Fine. That's your song. And this is
I defer to you. Anyway, look, we know it exists. Is this thing even cool? Though? Come on, Jake. I mean, is it what? That's pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah, I like it. I do. It's a wet cat.
Hey, we haven't got on to sex appeal yet. Calm down.
But I do like it, but it is, like, I've seen a crocodile. I've seen a lion. I know what their babies would be. Yeah? Do you ever get like that? Do you ever see, like, a couple of people and you're like, oh, I know what their babies would look like?
Tell you, when I see, like, an interracial couple or a mixed race couple, and they're pushing a pram, I'm sprinting over to look at that baby. Because obviously the baby's going to be more attractive. We've seen that, you know, interracial babies are way more attractive.
Yeah.
But I always feel like just a weirdo, because it's like, I wonder what the kid looks like. Handsome black guy, handsome Asian woman. And I'm like sprinting over like, I bet that baby's a fucking star.
Yeah, and then star in the making.
Star in the making, star hopefully. The so I get the same thing when I see, say, a lion and a crocodile.
Yeah.
Make love.
What would be the worst or like the most interesting combination of creatures if they could have? They have to be. No, they don't have to be similar sizes. That fucks everything up.
I think we maybe did this in one of our first Chimera episodes.
Oh, yeah. Like a manticore.
Griffin or something. Or the manticore, I think.
Haven't done a griffin.
We haven't done a griffin. Have we not?
No.
There you are now.
There you
go. Snake arms. Giraffe.
Snake arm. So anyway, so the giraffe is normal, except its feet are snakes.
Feet are snake arms.
It has no, like,
yeah, yeah,
it's
falling
over.
No, it kind of like goes up the tree like a sloth with its snake arm.
And its neck is like.
And its neck actually goes down and bites people from the top of the tree down.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Yeah, and it's got fangs. It's got like a little incisors.
A rhino spider.
Ooh.
Yeah, imagine like a rhino with 8 legs just on in like a huge spider with like armored plates. Yeah.
Well, we did establish last week spiders are the number one predator.
Yeah, I'm terrified of them. It is nice. It's cool, but I don't think it's cool in our world because it is. I've seen a lion. I think a lion would probably be more impressive than a cat that's just like in war.
And why isn't it everywhere? I mean, why is it sticking to the rivers and the lakes that it's used to? Why isn't it coming? Why isn't this? Why isn't there 50 of these banging around Powers Court?
Yeah, like it could, like, it just, it doesn't make sense.
Who's that?
Is that an impression? Jenny Cochran.
Oh, right. I thought you were doing a Jeff Bloom impression. but it's pretty cool. I give it a cool of 7.
I give it a cool of 5.
Whoa.
Because we've seen it. We've seen it before. Irish did it better. Cool.
Fair. Jago, we are not on the same menstrual cycle in this one.
I think it's just, like, it's... Hot.
And we've been spending more time together. You think we'd
That's
be more
true.
Insane?
Yeah, yeah.
I will. Well, can we give it a 6? Come on, it's a saber tooth tiger that swims.
We'll both defer. So play both our songs at the same time simultaneously.
I defer to. Yours isn't here. Defer. You only defer if you're an idiot. You're an idiot. Anyway, we'll give it a 6. 6 cool.
6 cool, okay. This is actually getting pretty decent for what I thought. Now, is it sexy though?
Hey. Cat's a cat.
I do know of all sort of...
Wash your fangs, love.
Genus of...
Wash the fangs.
Species. Feline is the hottest.
It's true.
Yeah.
Feline's the hottest. But you know what I'd be worried about is that this the fur, because this is a more of an amphibian kind of thing, is, you know, like you look at a dolphin, you think, right, that's gonna feel like rubbing a bit of rubber.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's coarse.
Yeah.
And a pig is not smooth and squeaky like Porky the pig.
Mm.
It's hairy.
Yeah.
That's my concern with this, that it's not a nice, you don't get a good rub off it.
So you try and rub it and it has a bit of coarseness to it.
Yeah, I don't want coarseness.
I do think, like, a wet pussy, like.
Stop it.
That's all I've written for sex appeals, a wet pussy.
Great job, Mark.
I do think, I think it is sexy. I do think it's feline is a sort of like a smooth lines. It will always, like, panther. Do you ever see, they always have, like, car ads with, like, a feral cat coming out?
Yeah.
I think it's to try and, like, the curves are supposed to be the curves of a woman without explicitly saying so.
What is that about a stalking cat that... Nah, forget it. Well, I'm not going to fucking analyze this.
Why?
Because I don't want to... I thought, like... Like, I'm surprised people haven't actually edited what we say out of context.
And then just sent it into, like, PETA or something.
Yeah. Well, no, if anything,
please don't do that.
This is a proper animal rights...
issue.
This is an animal rights podcast. I think we need to be, you know, appreciated for the fact that we are an animal rights podcast.
Yeah, we are trying to save these creatures. Like, if this is...
So we can force them to fight in our theater of screams.
Yeah, but, like, that's natural selection.
Yeah.
You know?
Look, it's a cat, you know? So it gets sex appeal.
Sure. You just yawned in the middle of our podcast. That is fucking...
Jago, it's so fucking hot in here.
Yeah.
And we've done... People don't know this, but I'm going to peel behind the skin here for you. We've done... What have we done, like, 6 episodes in 3 weeks?
Yeah. We've done a lot of episodes because Tony's off being a funny man.
I'm being a funny man.
In Edinburgh.
So, you know what I mean? So...
If you want to hear Tony being funny on another podcast, you should check out Reviewables, where he breaks blockbusters.
Did you listen to it?
I did. It's actually pretty good, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Not you.
No, not you. You, me. Sex appeal of 7, Jago. Come on.
Yeah, 7, yeah.
A cat's a cat.
Yeah. Cats in the cradles and Angola rivers. We are coming home now. I'm coming because the cat's so sexy.
I think this is the one. This is the episode we should nominate for the Sony Radio Prize.
Yeah.
Right, Jago. So, Jesus Christ, we're fucking... Oh, my God, we're there. We have our scores. Hang on. Let me get Ben Clifford's...
Memorial.
The Ben Clifford Memorial Premier Crypt. Now, to be fair, we are a couple of weeks ahead, so he might not have updated everything.
He definitely hasn't, but...
Oh, no, he's up to date. He's got the Duende out. Right. Mark Jago, give me the scores and actually add them up. Add them up now. Okay, Mark Jago, what are the final scores?
7, fighting. 6, evidence. 6, cool. 7, sex.
What is it?
26.
Holy shit. 26, wow. That's actually a pretty good contender.
Yeah, it's not so bad.
Although we still have we haven't figured out the final scores of the ass wang. Because we both had different scores we put both in.
No, did we not give it half scores?
No, but we'll need to revisit
episode.
That.
Yeah.
Wow, this fucking Koye Yemanya is on a par with the Kappa, Banshee, Mermaid, Manticore, and Indrid Cold, ahead of the Wendigo, Fianaga, and the Dobberku.
Yeah. Oh my God, it beat the Dobberku. That's
it
the
beat
one.
The Dobberku.
No. Guys, oh no. My eyesight means a lot to me.
Stop that. He's dead.
Oh, she did die, yeah.
What do you want to take away from this to make it lower than the Dobberku?
Are we doing that? Because that just seems real petty.
It is petty.
I will take away some points in sexy. How many points do we take away?
If we take away 1, it'll be on the same level as a Dobberku.
Okay, we'll do that. I'm going to take 1 away from sexy, because...
Right, guys, final
You'll
score,
never
25.
Beat the Irish.
25. Sorry, Koye Yemanya. Nis Yanata Manya for us today.
That's good. I like
That's
that
not good at all, Jake. Don't give me that. But thank you. Thank you for your undying support. Right, Jago, It's time for fucking hell. You want Top Trumps last week, didn't you? It's time for Top Trumps.
Win is a Tony Ajigo, but no Wolfman against him. They pick one team in the theater, screams at the part of the show that we call Top Trumps.
So I'm on a fucking streak again. Oh, no, I'm not. I won. I only won one. You won the one last before that.
You only won one.
So what I'm going to do is going to shuffle my cards.
Yep.
I pulled it out. I'm going to choose fighting for the man to That's fighting at 8.
Fucking hell. Mark Jago.
Oh no.
A counter with also a fighting of 8.
Oh shit.
Avian aliens, baby.
What do? We've never had a...
We have to go to the next one, or you have to pick a different score.
All right, I'll pick a different score. I choose sex appeal of 8.
10, baby!
No!
Manticore is mine, as is Goye Yimanya. Right, new team names. Your team name is Operation You, Me, and Dupree Tree.
Perfect, yeah.
And my team is Langers and Cash.
Bangers and Mash.
What do you mean? Team Langers and Cash versus Team You, Me, and Dupree Tree. Operation You, Me, and Dupree Tree.
That's really bad.
That's excellent. Now, Mark Jago, we have some more freak encounters.
Whoa, interesting.
People have been very generous with their time and their efforts in typing these up, so I want to give them the attention they deserve. So please break up a little bit of the freak encounters. That's just someone with a lisp. I'm not doing a voice of anyone. That's fine, Jamie. Leave that in. Break off a piece out of Freak Encounters. It's a guy who can't pronounce his oars, Jago.
Yeah, I know. Go ahead. Man, this heat is getting to me.
Yeah, me too.
Freak Encounters.
Oh, brilliant. This week's freak encounter comes in from Jerry Ward. He sent this in via... Why are you looking at my face like that?
That's my face,
and I use my face. This comes in from Jerry Ward. He sent this in via Instagram. So if you would like to do so, please do so at sexybeastpod at gmail.com or at sexybeastpod on the old Insta. So here we go. Hello, Tony. I'm a Sligo man in Sydney. Loving your work. Doesn't sound about you, Jago. This one passed down by my old man, who's since passed on. My condolences, Jerry. In Sligo, on the shores of Loch Gill, where Yeats loved a poem, is an area called Achamore. Anyway, there's a ball alley, which used to be the venue for dancing at the crossroads meetups in the 1950s, where local farmers lined up one side and ladies on the other. Catholic Ireland stifling the first move. Anyway, ladies never asked men to dance until one night a tall, handsome stranger arrived, and the ladies went, well, he's not local, he's so handsome, and he's a real belt instead of baling twine. So a lady asked him to dance, and he was a wonderful dancer and charming, and more ladies queued up, and they all danced with him, swoon, swoon, until the next lady asked him to dance, and he detected her shyness, so he was a bit more gentle with the spinning, and she was smitten, as were all the ladies. And the men were like, who's this prick? And then the shy girl looked down at the handsome stranger's feet, and instead of feet were hooves. She screamed. The lights went out. When the lights came on, the handsome stranger was gone, and all the ladies realized they were dancing with the Prince of Darkness himself, the devil. My dad moved in to console her, and that's how my mother met my father.
So good man Satan, if it weren't for him, my parents wouldn't have got together. Jerry from Sligo.
Fucking fair play to Satan being the matchmaker there.
Yeah.
Does that mean he you're the Antichrist, Jerry?
Well, he's not the Uncle Christ.
But that story, it's very similar to a lot of stories of the devil turning up and they look down and they have hooves.
Hey, devil. I'm a bit scared of the devil. I don't like speaking directly to the devil or doing anything that I think
that
might
old
summon
saying,
the devil.
Speak of the devil.
Yeah.
And he will appear.
But I will say this, devil, if you do exist, wear some shoes, hunty.
Yeah. Could you not just like get some Crocs, put them over his big old hooves?
They're just like flipping. They're bare. Yeah. They're so loose.
But like, I don't understand why, if he can make himself look human, he just, his feet are like, oh no, you know. No one looked down. No one ever looks down.
No one ever looks down. Not if you're looking up at his charming, and apparently he's very charming. Mark Jaco, have you an Angolan proverb for us, please?
I do, and I love this one. This one made me smile. Don't despise the nut, because one day you'll be lying in its shade.
Girl, you got that sexy.
The real PG.
You're just so sexy. Are you a Loch Ness monster? Or are you Bigfoot, cryptid, supernatural vampires, banshees, Tony and Jago? Oops, there's a Wendigo. Hey, 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 come on after me. Who the fuck said you could laugh at me, smack with me? With a Bigfoot dick you could slap with me? Blasphemy. You could dare come at me with a Bigfoot dick and Loch Ness monster pussy. Baby, baby, sexy beast.
This has been a Podstaff Couldn't... Poom.
Very good.
This has been a production of the Headstuff Podcast Network.